This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Okay, just making sure. I'd be nervous if we weren't. Oh, it's good. It's been a crazy weekend, and so good to have you here this morning. Before we just transition into the Word this morning, I do want to make an announcement that we weren't able to get to the bulletin before, but J.J. Jiritsa, some of you might know who that family is, Beata's grandson, Brent and Andrea's son, passed away on Thursday. Some of you have been following that and praying for them and from a motorcycle accident, and we're grieved, but God is good, and he has sustained this wonderful family. And so we want to just make an announcement that they will be doing a celebration of life on this coming Saturday, July 1st, I think. Is that right, or 2nd? 1st, yeah. So this Saturday at 2 o'clock right here, we'll be hosting it here at Christian Life Center. So hopefully you will be able to be a part of that if you'd like. Probably be reaching out to some of our core hospitality people to help us out with that, but wanted to put that on your calendar so you'll know that if you want to be a part of that this Saturday at 2 o'clock right here at Christian Life Center. So just continue to pray for that family and that God will sustain them. It's a difficult, difficult time, and so as it would be for anybody. So we want to continue to do that. Amen. And just again, you heard all the announcements, reminding you that starting next week, we'll be going at 9:30 for just the month of July as we're in the midst of camps and so many things happening in July that it just makes it easier for our church, our team, and everything. Pastor Matt and Pastor Taylor will be at 3 weeks, well, actually four, including family camp, but 3 weeks of youth camps. And wow, I couldn't imagine that. So could you imagine the smell after 3 weeks of being around teenagers? Who, Lord, help them. So, anyway. Well, it's good. Hey, we're in the house of the Lord today. I'm so glad you're here. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. My name is Pastor Heath. I'm the lead pastor here. And along with our team, we welcome you and thank you for being a part of what's happening. We are in a series. In fact, today is the last of a series called Money, 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 and this is the last one of 3 weeks, so just so you know, so you can take a deep breath and be okay, we're finally finished with this, and I'm tired of talking about money, but I tell you what, the feedback has been great, and a lot of people have been encouraged and challenged in the area of money, money, money. So every week we have new people that either check us out online or step into this series that come and join church for the first time. So I have to say a few things every week, remind a few couple disclaimers before we start this morning. The first disclaimer is we aren't raising an offering, and we're good as a church. We're doing fine. Thank you for your faithfulness. Obviously, we're still raising some funds for the roof, and many of you have been so faithful with that. Thank you so much for your giving toward that. And but we're not here to raise money. We're not taking an offering. We're not trying to line our pockets. Our team makes mediocre, makes enough salary to live, but our spouses all work so that we can make ends meet. Our church is good financially. I've said it every week. We are a debt-free church. We don't own any money to the bank. We are debt-free, and we love that. We aren't asking or taking your money. This whole series has been about, not about getting you rich, but about being free. And there's a difference between the two. Some people equate money and being rich as being free. But I don't know about you, but I've known and heard of millionaires who are miserable. And just because you're rich does not make you free. On the other hand, there are those who make $40,000, $50,000 a year, and they are free. They're happy. They feel blessed and all those types of things. But I also believe this. I also believe you can be rich and you can be free. So it's not an issue of whether what you have and what you don't have, but just because you are rich doesn't mean you are free, right? So that's kind of what we've been talking about. And so my hope is that as we end today is that you and I would pursue and go after what I'd like to call true wealth. And we've talked about stewardship, which is something I take very serious as a lead pastor. And stewardship is how you manage what does not belong to you. And I'll just be honest, this building, this church, all these things does not belong to us. It belongs to God. We're just stewarding. How do we steward? How you manage? How many of you believe that everything that you have, I hope you believe, is that everything we have belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. It's not ours. It's on loan to us from the Lord. And it's important how we steward what God has given us, because one day we will have to give an account for all the things that God has given to us. We'll have to give an account to those things. So how we manage what God gives us matters, right? And in the second part of this series last week, if you weren't here, we talked about how money makes a bad master. Money makes a bad master. It's never satisfied. It makes promises that it cannot keep. And so money becomes a bad master. But rather, we should take money and see it as a tool that we can be used to further the kingdom of God. We talked about money is also your tithe, and that a tithe is not something that you offer. A tithe is something you owe. It's something you owe. And so, and ultimately, we talked about that God is our provider. And so today, I want to remind us, this is true statistical facts, is they say 80% of Americans don't have an income problem, they have a spending problem. 80% of Americans don't have an income problem, they have a spending problem. But there also is the other 20% of Americans who don't really make enough, who literally have an income problem. And I want to help us in this last talk today, I want to help us to see that God truly is our provider. He truly is someone that we can count on, you know, that, and I believe with all of my heart that the Lord wants to bless you. I believe the Lord wants us to be blessed. I believe that He wants to bring increase into your life and into my life and into our church's life. And it's not prosperity preaching, right? We're not saying that if you give exactly $777 today and you turn to page 347 in your Bible, and you read that page, the Lord will hear you and He will increase you three times more than what you have right now. Hear me this morning. No, that's not the Bible. That's not real. That's mystical. That's not what we're talking about. But there are principles in your life to actually see God's blessing in hand on your finances, on you personally, to bring increase into your life. And so this morning, I want to have you turn with me to the wonderful book of Matthew. Matthew 25, chapter 25, and Jesus is telling a story, a parable in the Bible, teaching us on increase. And so Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 says this, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." Now, I don't know how many times you might have read that parable. I know I have, and seen it from a different perspective. But the question I have for us this morning is, how do you manage your talent? And let's talk about that for a minute, because maybe you're not too clear on what a talent is. The word talent here is not what you and I probably think it is. The word talent here is actually a measurement of money. And measurement in the biblical times was not always standardized. In other words, it was rather way more practical when you talked about measurement. So in other words, like they would use, if something was a distance away, you know, we might say if there was a bottle of water sitting right here, it might say, well, that bottle of water is an arm length away from me. Or if you were going to take a trip, they would say the trip is 2 days' journey from me. And that's how they measured things more in a practical sense. And we still see the remnants of that today in our world today. Like I could say, well, those stairs over there are 30 feet from me, right? And so, and when we don't have a measuring tape, and I've seen some of you do this, and we're like, well, how many feet is that? You know what we do? We go like this, 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot. You ever done that before? And then one day, measurement became standardized. No, it's no longer a foot, it's now 12 inches. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, because some people have bigger feet than other people. Like, I don't wear a size 12. I wear a size 10. So my foot isn't your foot, right? And so we created a standardized so that all measurements would be the same. And so when it came to money, money was measured differently. Back then, it was measured by weight. The same thing, if you're familiar with Great Britain or the UK, they have the pounds. Money was measured by weight. They don't do that today, but they did back then. And a talent was the largest form of measurement available. A talent was between 75 to 125 pounds because a talent was as much as a man could carry. That's what a talent was. So some men can carry more than others. So that's why the range is between 75 to 125 pounds was a talent. So a talent is 175 to 125 pounds, just one talent. And listen, here's the other important part. A talent was either silver or gold. You could only use a talent in the context of silver and gold. So let me put it into practical terms for us for just a second this morning. Because the value of gold today, right here this day, the value of a gold is $1,969.90 an ounce. That's the value of gold today. There are 16 ounces in a pound. There are 75 pounds of gold for the lowest measurement of a talent. That means that that person who received one talent in today's money received $2,363,880. All right? I don't know if you've ever read this story and felt bad for the person who just got one talent. Don't ever feel bad for them again. All right? They got $2,363,880,000. I mean, that's pretty good. Here's my point this morning. You and I, don't undervalue what God gives you. Don't undervalue what God, it might just be one talent, but there's a lot of worth and value hidden in that one talent. You might feel like, well, you know, I only have one skill. I'm not really good at anything. But if you invest into that skill, if you invest into that talent, God will multiply your influence. He will multiply it. You invest in your giftings, you invest your resources in the right places, and you will be astonished at how God can multiply it. It might seem small to you and small to others, but God can multiply it. The way you manage, the way you steward, it could lead the way to your multiplication in your life. And God wants to multiply us. Why multiply? Why invest, right? I mean, maybe our mentality is, well, shouldn't I just be content with what I have? I mean, that's what we're taught. Just be happy with what you have. Absolutely. Absolutely, you should be content with what you have. And I wrote it this way. It says this, I want nothing more than what God has planned for me, but I also want nothing less than all that God has planned for me. That's how amazing this is. Don't you want all that God wants for you? I'm not trying to be more than God has called me to be, but I'm not trying to have more than what God has called me to have. And I am just convinced, hear me this morning, that the majority of people in life, it's not that you have as much as God wants you to have. I think God has more for you. And I think many of us go to the grave not fulfilling our life's potential to the fullest. Because we've settled, well, shouldn't I just be content with what I have? And I would even say our income potential has not reached its fullest. Listen, I've got no problem settling for all that God has for me. I'm content with that. And here's what I don't want for you and for our church this morning. I don't want what God intended to be a starting line for you, but I don't want what God intended to be interpreted as a starting line or our finish line. I think God's got more. We think we've started and we finished. I'm like, no. I think maybe we just started. Even if you're in this room, no matter how young or old you are, you have just started. You've not finished. There's still more for you. What you have, God wants to do more with you than you could ever imagine. Don't sit back and sometimes we say, well, I'm here. Isn't that good enough, Pastor Heath? I mean, I've lived a good life. I've done some good things. I'm just here. What if it's just the beginning of what God wants to do you? And hear me this morning. I believe this beginning has no age limit with God. Beginning has no age limit. What if there was more that God had for you? And I believe that God has more. He can multiply, you can multiply, and he wants to multiply in your life. However, if he's gonna multiply in our lives, we have to spend less time comparing and complaining. Because we look at ourselves and we say, well, I've only got this. Well, I've only got one. I don't have blank. I don't have this. And we come to this parable, and sometimes we ask two questions as we read this parable, and we look at people the same way. The first question we might ask when we receive when we read this parable is, number one, is why did I only get one? Like, why did the one guy only get one? The comparison, the complaining steps in. And let me answer that question for you. The reason you got one is because God is so good. The reason you got one is because God is so good, because of his grace, because you could have got none, but you got one. Praise the Lord, because you and I got more than we deserved. The second question is, why did the other guy get five? Why did he get five? Look at Matthew chapter verse 15 again. It says this: to one he gave five talents, to another two, another one, and another to another one, to each according to his ability. I want you to lean in for a moment into that word ability, because what determined that they got was God's grace. That they got was God's grace. But what determined what they got was their ability. And the Greek word for ability is a word called dynamis. And dynamis, when it is used in the same sentence of God, means supernatural power. But when dynamis is used in the same sentence as man, it means strength. And why is that important? Why is that significant for us today? Because you have to remember what a talent is defined by. What is a talent defined by? What is it? Weight. How much can a person carry? So God gave 75 times 5 pounds to the person who could carry 5 because he could carry it. He could carry it. Because if he gave it to the person who only had the strength to carry 1, that person would have been buried by their blessing. And if you're strong enough to carry it, God will bless you. He'll bless you. But if it will bury you, God's not going to crush you with what he was meant to bless you. He's just not going to do that. By the way, this story preposes strength. In other words, God gave the talent, but the servants came with the strength. If you don't get anything this morning, I want you to understand something. If you want increase in your life, if you want increase in your income, focus on increasing your strength. Focus on increasing your faith. Let me ask you a question this morning. What's your strength? Listen, if you're in the room today and your strength is communication, build that. If your strength is hospitality, build that. If your strength is building or fixing things, build that. If your strength is creativity, build that. God wants us to multiply. What is your talent? Your thinking probably is, your answer for me, as I'm saying, hey, increase your, you're going, Pastor Heath, you're telling me to increase our work. Like, you're telling me I have to do more work? That's not what I want to do. I want to sit back and just let God bless me. I don't want to have to do more work. You know, can't you, Pastor Heath, just give us a really good Bible verse and a perfect prayer to say, and then that will bring the increase in our lives? Look at Proverbs 13:11. It says this: wealth from a get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Think about that. You didn't know the Bible was that direct, did you? You didn't know the Bible was like, proverb's going to just like hit you with something. Listen to me. True wealth that lasts comes from your willingness to use what God gives you. True wealth that lasts comes from that willingness to use what God has given you. We don't get better quick. We get better over time. We use our gifts to grow ourselves, and ultimately, we use our gifts to grow our church. And more importantly, ultimately, we use our gifts to grow the kingdom of God. So we should want to be the best at what we do at Christian Life Center. We should want to be the best at what we do as followers of Christ, not in a prideful way, not in an arrogant way, but because God is a God of excellence. He's a God of excellence. Be the best at your trade. Be the best at the talents that God's given you, and you watch your blessings reflect who God is in your life. I wrote it down this way: the limit of your income is not your occupation, but your application. It's not your occupation, it's your application. It's not your job, it's how you do your job. It's not your talents, it's how you use your talents. And I don't care if you're young or if you think you're too old, every one of us in here can get better. We can all get better. And I think that I have some steps today to help us quickly, real quickly, get better. The first thing I would say to us, if we're going to get better, if we're going to bring increase into our lives, then we have to learn to focus. It's just simple. You have to learn to focus. Look what Proverbs 4 says to us. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet steadfast in all your ways. Sorry, I wrote it down wrong. Do not turn, verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. I knew this guy came to me. I was pastoring, youth pastor, and had this guy come to me. Fantastic guitar player. I mean, incredible young adult, amazing guitar player. He comes to me and he says, Pastor, I feel like God wants me to be a worship leader. Here he is in his early 20s, and he feels this calling. He wants to be a worship leader. I'm like, awesome, that's great, let's go. And he's like, what do I need to do to answer that call? And I said, well, hey, listen, why don't you start coming to practices? You know, why don't you start join our team? Let's start cultivating, spend some time together. Let's start cultivating this call. Let's do these types of things. And he stops me and he goes, well, I can't do that right now. I'm like, okay. He goes, well, I got this job. And right now I'm in the middle of this job. I'm trying to earn this certificate. I'm trying to do this. And then once I get those things, it's going to take me here and I got to do this thing. So I'm not going to be able to do all these things you're asking me to do. And it's probably going to take a year and a half process to get where I want to be. I was like, okay. Because I've learned as a pastor, I've just learned this, doing this long, that some people you counsel, that counsel with you, they don't really want your advice. They just want your stamp of approval. Now, not everybody, but some people. So I played along with him. I'm like, cool, man, cool. That's great. Then I said a famous line. Hopefully none of you ever have to hear me say this. And I just said, can I speak into your life for a moment? He's like, yeah. I said, are you called to do that? Are you called to do that job? I mean, that's a great profession, but is that your calling? What has God called you to do? Can I encourage us, don't waste time doing something you aren't called to do. Had another guy, his name was Terry. Started at a church, came in. He worked at the county corrections officer. Big, bald guy. I said, Terry, he was served on our team just as a volunteer. And I said, you know, Terry, I see so much in you. Why don't you just come alongside? I'd love to pour into your life, be one of my side-by-side guys when you're not working or whatever. Within the next day, he calls me and he says, I just quit my job. I said, are you crazy? And he goes, he's getting ready to get married. He was engaged. He was getting married. His wife to be was a nurse. She agreed to support him while he took 2 years and just interned full-time with me. Quit everything he did so that he could walk alongside me and learn to do ministry and answer the call. In my mind, I thought you were crazy. Today, Terry is a lead pastor in Ohio, still serving the Lord, still answering the call. I believe this. If you invest in your calling, one day your calling will invest back into you. If you invest in your calling, one day your calling will invest back to you. If you chase four rabbits, you'll catch none. How many know that? You'll catch none. You got to pick something and say, God, what is my calling? And hear me, I'll say this to the end. Everyone in this room has a calling. And we got to focus on what does God have for me in this stage of my life? Put your hand to something and allow God to lead you and to bless you. But do something with everything that you've got. Now, I've had people say, well, I don't know what my thing is, Pastor Heath. I don't know what that calling is. You know what I would say to you? I would say whatever thing is in front of you right now, that's your calling. That's what God called you to. Focus on that. I think the other thing that leads increase to our life is anonymity. It's a big word, right? I practiced that word all the way home last night, and I got it right. Anonymity. This is where the crowd doesn't matter for us anymore. If we're God's going to bring increase in our life, we don't have to. We can't worry about the crowd. Who are you? Or what are you when no one is looking? That is anonymity. Who are you when no one else is looking, when no one else is around? You know, King David got his big break when he killed Goliath, right? That was his moment. Like, he brought in the slaying, and he looked at bravery in the eyes, and he said, I'm going to take this thing on. But how many know before knocking out giants, you know what he was? You have to look and see what he was doing when no one was around. Look at 1 Samuel 17. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending the father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I went out after it and I attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth as it rose up against me. I grabbed a hold of it. I seized its whiskers and I struck it and I killed it. Goes on in verse 36, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has defied the armies of the living God. Did you hear where David's confidence came from? He goes in front of 10,000 people, and he doesn't mind taking on this giant because he was doing the same thing when no one else was around. When no one was around, over and over and over again, he lived in anonymity, and he knew that his time would come. Listen to me, be prepared to work in anonymity, church. 18 years, we go 18 years, we don't hear about Jesus. Do you know that? We hear about him when he was 12 years old. He ends up at church. He talks back to his mama, right? She says, what are you doing here? And he said, woman, I'm about my father's business, right? And then we don't hear about him for another 18 years, right? Something happened. What was he doing for 18 years? He was in anonymity. He was preparing for what he was going to do. Moses spent 40 years in the desert leading sheep. Why? Because God knew that he would have to spend 40 years leading people in the desert. Anonymity. I'm just saying, God wants and will use you, but you and I have to be prepared to do things, to sacrifice things. Be prepared to possibly go unnoticed or maybe not even see fruit. Why? Because seeds don't grow above the ground. Seeds don't grow above the ground because if they did, the birds would eat it before it even produced fruit. Anonymity is there to protect you so that your character does not undergrow your platform, so that you don't produce a fruit that your roots cannot sustain. That's anonymity. Who are you when no one else is around? That's how you bring increase. Another third thing, how you bring increase, we got to learn what it means to invest. Invest. Look at Galatians 6:7. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So in other words, in layman terms, it says, we get out whatever we put in, right? Whatever you invest, you're going to get out. It goes on in Galatians 6:8, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So basically what Paul's saying, what the author's saying to us, he's saying we invest in things all the time. You and I, whether we realize it or not, we are investing in things. You being here today is investing. Did you know that? You're investing into something. Every minute you spend, you are investing into something. Every dollar you spend, you're investing into something. And Paul's just saying to us, be aware of what you are investing in. Galatians 6:9 goes on and says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The investment will pay off. You being here today, getting up this morning, coming to church, the investment you made, I believe, will pay off. Keep investing. We challenged our church, hey, during this series, take a 90-day challenge of tithing. Take 90 days. Just tithe for 90. I give you permission. Take that night and tell me or see if God doesn't bless you. The investment will pay off. I remember when Kim and I bought our first home in the early 2000s, we paid a whopping, are you ready for this? A whopping $82,000 for our first home. I would love to have that today. $82,000. And we didn't have much. You know, we had a little baby girl, but we wanted to update our home, and we went into our new home, and we painted walls, and we did some of the small things, you know, put a new mailbox out, right? You had to do that, and mow the yard, and move some things around. It was nice. And then Kim comes to me and says, you know what's going to make this house complete? And she says, we need to carpet the whole thing. I said, you're crazy. You know how much that's going to cost? It costs thousands of dollars to re-carpet this whole thing. But boy, just that small tweak made such a difference. Why? Because literally we didn't even live in the house more than 2 years. God called us away in less than 2 years, but in less than 2 years, we sold it for over $100,000. Because this is the point. I wrote it down this way, every improvement to your life is an investment in your value. Every improvement in your life is an investment in your value. Anytime you work on you getting better, your value goes up. Anytime you work on you getting better, your value goes up as a person, as an employee, as a family person, as a spouse, as a friend, and probably more importantly than anything else, the more investment you put in your life, you become a better follower of Christ. Better follower, Lord. Invest your time, invest your resources, invest in your growth, and let's get better so that God can bring the increase to your life and bring the increase to our church. The other thing I think to bring increase to our world is we need to become teachable. We need to become teachable. If you want increase, if you want to see increase, you need to become teachable. Look at Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. But whoever heeds correction is honored. I went into Bible college and I needed a job, and I met a professor who kind of knew me because I was a decent high school wrestler. And so his son was a wrestler, so he kind of knew me from the circuit. And so he said, hey, there's a school called Winter Haven High School who's looking for an assistant high school wrestling coach. And he goes, you'd be great for that. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And so here I am. I'm right in college. I'm 18, 19 years old, my first time in. And here I'm at coaching high school wrestling with kids who are not much older than I am or younger than I am, right? And so here I am. And we decided to go outside on the track to do our conditioning and our running. And I had never really done that before in our training growing up. But I'm outside running on the track. And the next thing you know, after a few days of doing this, I ended up with shin splints. If you've ever had shin splints, painful things, right? Totally. And one little high school kid looked at me and he said, you know, coach, you shouldn't be running the track in your wrestling shoes. I'm like, who asked you? Number one. Number two, I'm like, I'm the coach, you're the kid. Number three, I'm like, when you should be working out worried about yourself running, you took time to watch me. And then finally I said, hey, it wasn't, hey, coach, it's great that you're out here running with us. You don't have to run with us, but you decided to run with us. It wasn't that. Simply just looked at me and said, you shouldn't be wearing those shoes when you're out here running. And I was like, kind of didn't really like being corrected. But here's what I realized. It hurts. It hurt to receive feedback, but it would hurt even more if I didn't listen. And some of us in the room need to get this. It hurts to hear feedback. It hurts to be corrected. It hurts to be teachable. But you know what? It hurts even more sometimes when we don't listen, when we don't heed it. We need to learn. Can I just encourage you with some things this morning? Can I give you some facts? Number one, fact, we aren't always right. Fact. Fact, we can be wrong. Fact, I know you're independent, but sometimes input can be beneficial. Fact, you're never done learning. You're never done learning. You can be better. We can be better. Let's be teachable. Number five principle to increase in your life, real quick, is this: hard work. Hard work. Look at Matthew again. We're in this Matthew 25, and it goes down to verse 24, and it says this: He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you had you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." I want you to focus on it. He says, "I was afraid." I've heard a lot of preachers preach this passage, and they say to us, maybe their encouragement is, don't be afraid to use your talents. That's the focal point. Don't be afraid to use your talents. Don't hide it under something. You use them, you go forward. And I get that, but I don't think that's the point of this verse. I don't think the point of this verse is to encourage us to not be afraid. I think the point of this verse is don't make excuses. The point of this verse is let's stop making excuses. And here's how I know that, because if you read verse 26, it tells us. It's what it says, but the master answered him, "You wicked, slothful, or lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed." He gets right to the core, church. He gets right to the core of the issue. You're afraid? Is that what you think? You think you're afraid? I don't really think you're afraid. I think God's like, I know your heart. It wasn't fear, it was laziness. You didn't want to do anything with it. Verse 27 goes on and says, "Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest." I don't know if you've ever had kids, or maybe you know people who are like this, who are really good at starting things but terrible at finishing. Like as soon as the work gets hard, as soon as it gets difficult, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I was one of those kids, I knew it all the time, where, hey, I want to start something, and once it got hard, sometimes I didn't want to finish it. And my dad was very kind to us. He would always remind us, it's okay to try things. It's okay to experiment and look for new things, but one day, you're going to have to find your thing. And when you find your thing, it's going to get hard the moment you decide to be good at it. It's going to get hard. Anytime you decide to get good at something, it's going to get hard. How many know that our money is no different? When we decide to do good with it, when it's no longer your master, that's when things get hard. That's when things get difficult. And I'm just challenging us, whatever you decide to do, let's be the best at it. Whatever you decide to go, it doesn't matter to me what you decide to do. It doesn't matter to me who you decide to be, but be the best at what you decide to do, because hard work is how you multiply. And I'll say this to us, hard work at CLC will make us multiply. Putting in the effort and putting in the work. And you know how I know that? Colossians 3:23 reminds us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And working for the Lord, not for human masters. Every hard work we put in, we're working for the Lord. We're doing something for Him. We're bringing glory and honor to His name. Flip burgers, fix toilets, raise a family, serve your church. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. He's the one. He's the one we are really working for. He's the one that really matters. He sees our efforts, and He's the one that will promote you. He's the one that will bless you from the work that you and I put in. The last one this morning, I think the last principle God would say to us to bring increase is to be fulfilled. So understand what it means to be fulfilled. You want increase in your life? Find what makes you feel fulfilled. There's a shift that took place in the workplace after COVID-19. Before COVID, people took jobs based on income. How much money can I make? But after COVID, income fell to number three to why people chose jobs. It changed. The number one reason that people chose jobs after COVID was work-life balance. In other words, they don't care about being rich, they care about being free. The second most important factor why people pick jobs post-COVID was they want work that is meaningful. Can I tell you guys this morning, work is not the curse. You ever been like that? Like where you're like, Adam and Eve, you messed it up. It's all your fault. You guys wouldn't have eaten the fruit, then we wouldn't have to work. We'd just sit back and enjoy pineapples all day, you know? Just be fun. But can I tell you, can I remind you again, that's not accurate. Read Genesis, right? There was work before the fall. Work is part of God's perfect plan, right? It's hard, I hate to break this to you, but there's work in heaven. There'll be work in heaven. It's gonna be like, oh man, they didn't tell me that. Because the curse is not work. Read the curse again in Genesis. If you read it again, and I'll give you some highlights of the curse. This is what it says. You will work the ground and thorns will come up. You will work the ground and you will sweat. You will work the ground and it will be painful. The curse is not that you will work. The curse is that you will not enjoy your work. Some of you can relate to that. Sometimes we work for paychecks, but not for purpose. But I just believe that God has set us up in a place where we can find fulfillment in anything. We can find fulfillment in faith. We can find fulfillment in life. And we can find fulfillment in work. Going back to our scripture, Matthew 25, going back up to verse 19, tells a story. It says, Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with him. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I made five talents more. So he gives the increase to the master. Here's the revelation I want to give you this morning. He knew before he started working that he wasn't going to keep the money. He knew as he's investing this money, as he's making money, he knew that he wasn't going to keep the money, right? So money was not the motivation for this guy. The guy that got five talents, he wasn't motivated by how much money can I make? What will be the increase to me? If you want to find fulfillment, you have to remove money as your motivator. He doesn't care about the money, right? So why was he working? If he didn't care about the money, why was he working? Because he was about to get his true reward. You know what the true reward is? Look at the next verse. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful sinner. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The reward. The reward, folks, wasn't money. The reward was well done by the master. Well done. The reward was eternity. It's about you and I finding our purpose, about taking everything we do and making it a ministry. Did you hear me this morning? Everything you do and making it, I mean, whatever you do, whatever you give, hear me this morning, it is a ministry because you understand who we are working for and we understand what we are working for, eternity. And there is a difference between your daily routine and your calling, right? This just, what I do today just happens to be my job and my calling. I'm blessed. But if you take this microphone away from me, the microphone doesn't make me a preacher. My calling makes me a preacher. No matter where you are, no matter where you put me, my calling doesn't change. And your routine, whatever you do throughout the day, wherever you go, it is your calling. Whether it's a job, whether it's retirement, whether it's staying at home, going to school, you have a calling. Your ministry is where you are. And you can love people right where you are. You can change the world right where you are. Finding that fulfillment. And hear me, I think when we begin to change like this guy's mindset and we put our mindset on things that are eternal, it changes everything you and I do. We see whatever we do as a ministry, every high, every gift, everything we receive, it's a ministry. And you and I have a holy calling. So how do we see increase? How do you manage your talent? How do you find purpose in what you do? Well, think about on the screen today. We talked about six things. Let's put it on the screen. There we go. We talked about focus, anonymity, invest, be teachable, hard work, and fulfilled. This is supposed to be dark. We'll change it in second service. Faithful. And if you're not good at Wheel of Fortune, all right, it spells this. Next slide. Faithful. How do we manage? How do we bring increase? How do we steward our talents? How do we find purpose in life? We're faithful. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but those are the words I long to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. When you go after God and what he blesses you with, when you go after those things with all your might, with all your energy, you are that faithful servant that Jesus spoke about. Going after him with all of our might, with all of our energy. You and I, we aren't working for today. We aren't living for today. You know what? We are working and we are living and we are giving and we are applying and all these things. We are working for eternity. We're working for eternity, right? You aren't giving for today. You are giving for eternity. You are investing for today. You are investing for eternity. You are being teachable for today. You're being teachable for eternity. Because ultimately, when you and I long to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And to, in order to hear those words, you know what you have to do? You have to remove self from the equation. You have to remove me from the equation and say, I just want the best of what God has for me. And I want to return it back to him because it all belongs to him in the first place. And so, Lord, we invite you in. Thank you for your presence that's here this morning and the principles that you've laid out before us. They're very simple, God, but I pray that you would help our church today to be men and women of focus, men and women who aren't afraid of anonymity, men and women who are willing to invest our giftings, our talents, our resources back to you. Men and women, Lord, who are not afraid of hard work and what it takes. Men and women who say, God, help us to be teachable. What do we need to learn today? What do we need to know today? How do I need to soften my heart and my ways? Lord, make me teachable so that we can be men and women. We can be a church that is considered faithful. That God, the talents that you have given us, we don't just hide them in the ground because we're afraid of the hard work. But God, the talents that you give us, the blessings that you give us, we will be able to carry because we've been men and women who are faithful today. Faithful with what you've given us. Faithful with what you've blessed us with. So that we can have confidence that your word reminded that man with the talent, well done, my good and faithful servant. May that be us this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. close. And as we worship here just for one second, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. If you aren't fulfilled right now, maybe you feel like, I don't know if I feel that fulfillment in my life. And maybe you need purpose this morning. Maybe you need God to put a calling in your heart. Maybe you need God to stretch you in some ways that you haven't been stretched in a while. And you're at a place where, like, God, I want to go to the next level in my faithfulness. Yes, I've been faithful, but have I been faithful? And maybe that's a place of examination this morning. I've been faithful, but have I really been faithful? So I want to encourage us with somebody, as we just worship the Lord for a moment, if that is where you are, you're at that place, I just encourage you to call out to God and say, God, give me a calling. Give me a purpose. Lord, make me faithful. I desire to be that servant that you can look down and you can say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on, let's worship Him together. Christ made an investment in us. Think about that. Are you so glad He made an investment in us? No one was more focused than Christ. No one was more focused than Jesus. No one was driven more by purpose. No one was more faithful. No one worked harder carrying the cross for you and I. He died for us. Jesus was that faithful servant. He deserves what we give back. He deserves our faithfulness. He deserves our hard work. He deserves our focus. He deserves our ability to learn. He deserves our ability to say, God, we want to be the best that you've created us to be. No one made a greater investment in your life than Jesus Christ. And maybe you need to be reminded of that today. And if you're in this place and you need that investment in your life, just simply say, Jesus, I need you. And He'll change your life. Let's go out of this place. Let's make our church that place where we can be content, we can be confident that you and I are those faithful servants. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people today. May your face shine upon them. May you prosper them. Lord, even as we've talked about money, Lord, we proclaim today that you are our master. That is you, Father, not just with money, but in every area of our life, God, we want you to be the master. We want you, God, to be the sustainer, the provider. So, Lord, we put our trust in you, oh God, today. We trust in that your goodness and your grace will multiply in our lives, Lord Father, that we have nothing to fear and nothing to worry. Lord, for those who say, I need a touch of healing today, may your power minister to them. For those who need a touch financially today, God, may you bring multiplication where there seems to be no way. God, just for the provision of the Lord to rain upon us today so that we can have confidence, that we can walk forward in the calling that you placed upon each and every one of us. So we honor you today, God. We love you and we proclaim you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being at church. Enjoy the sun and the weather. Hope to see you maybe Wednesday night at prayer. Love to see you come out. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center Weekly Podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.